We'll be going to four types of scriptures today. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Joel. If you don't know where that's at, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. You know, I know the books of the Bible. Go to about the middle of the Bible and then go over a little further to the right. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. You'll be blessed. I want to read some wonderful scripture to you. Joel chapter 2. I want to talk today and I want to set the focus for Jesse the Planet's Ministries and for Covenant Church of what we're going to do this year. Last year we talked for by it. That was Hebrews 11. We noticed we did that all during the year. And if you don't know what it is, you'll never get it. And if you look at faith, F-A-I-T is stuck right in the middle of faith. I want to talk. I want to set the agenda for all my ministries that are under me on the power of focus and imagination. I love being around children because they imagine so many things. I don't know much about the movie Frozen, but I have been froze quite a few times. I've never seen the movie Frozen, but my granddaughter Meredith, sometimes she got a little thing, either Kathy gave her or Santa Claus or whoever did. It's a little amulet or whatever kind of thing. And you press it and the light comes on. She says, "You're frozen, grandfather." So I got to stand like this for a while. And I do it all the time, you know. You can write this down. If you focus on your priorities, you eliminate all your confusion. Priority is very, very, very popular and very powerful in your life. Title of this message today is to set this agenda, the power of focus and imagination. And I want you to see this as I was praying in my study, and I wrote this in my January partner letter, but I'm going to do a little bit on that and other things. I realized something. I looked up and he gave me these questions, and I want to ask you this. How big do you want to dream? Write that down. How big do you want to dream? Leave some room right there. How hard do you want to work? This is what the Lord's telling me. I got my hands up now. I'm in my study. He gave me these questions. How big do you want to dream? How hard do you want to work? Because whatever you do in life, it will encompass work. Amen. The third question, how much do you want to envision? How much? Notice he's asking me instead of me asking him. He's using the power of focus and imagination on me. So my brother here that's 96, I focus on you and said, I want to be like him. I want to be there. So how big do you want to dream, Jesse? You can put your name in there. How hard do you want to work? How much do you want to envision? And then the last one, and this is the most important one. How much past do you want to forget? How much past do you want to forget? And I'm going to deal with this in a few minutes. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll just say this. The past is too heavy to bring into the future. I'm going to say that again in a few minutes. So how big you want to dream, Jesse? How hard you want to work? How much do you want to envision? And how much past do you want to forget? Naturally, the scripture covers these questions. God never gives you something without the Constitution working behind it. The Bible cannot be amended because it is a perfect document. The Constitution of the United States has amendments to it because it's not a perfect document. President Woodrow Wilson said it was a progressive document. But the Word of God's been progressive so far beyond man's minds that those that have tried to destroy it are gone and it's still here today. So in Joel chapter 2, I want to read verse 25. He says this, I will restore to you the years, everybody say years, that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Now, is there any lack in that statement? And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. That's why I'm not ashamed of the blessing God has bestowed on me. Spiritually, physically, financially. Because he has wondrously blessed me. The world doesn't understand that, but I will not be ashamed. There's some ministers today, they don't preach prosperity because they are ashamed of it. They don't preach healing because they're ashamed of it, because it might not work, or you might get greedy. And you know, God just don't want you to, he's trying to teach you something, which is stupid. His word is forever settled. So I refuse to be ashamed of the plane that I fly, or the car that I drive, or the house that I live in, or the clothes that I wear. Because in my mind, I'm giving God glory. I don't know about your mind, but your mind is your business. I'm dealing with mine. He says, how big do you want to dream? And then he goes down to verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward, after all this stuff, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. How many of y'all are flesh? Yeah, all of you are. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Or in other words, why have a dream without it coming to pass? Why have a vision without a future? So write this down if you're taking notes. How big you want to dream? When you have faith, you are creating. That's why I preach so much on faith, that it's the very nugget and foundation of what I do. When you have faith, you are creating. What are you doing? Your mind and spirit get into sync. Your mind and spirit get into sync. They work together to formulate your future. Your spirit and mind must get into sync, and it's done by faith. To do what? To formulate your future. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. Dreams have no expiration dates. When I met my brother here a few years back, I thought, I want to be like him. It was a dream of mine. Because you see, according to my family, I'm not even supposed to make it to 65 at the time of this preaching. All my family dies early. Only two uncles that went past 49. Everybody else died. That's what they believe for. Isn't that terrible? They could still be here today. How do I know? My gentleman friend that's 96. And I could have Christmas dinner with him. Well, all my aunts, my uncles, when I was a little boy, it was a great time. Now they're in heaven, that's fine. But they never fulfill their destiny or reach their destination. See, when you have faith, you are creating. Your mind and spirit get into sync. They work together to formulate your future. That's why I said we live by faith and not by sight. When God said light be, that was faith talking. It formulated my future. And if I go by the theoretical physics, 13.7 billion years ago, I was in the bang when God said, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And light came into existence because there was darkness. God didn't say, whoa, it's dark out here. He just changed what he saw. So how big do you want to dream? Well, Brad, you just can't get crazy. Why not? If you're an American, you're told all your life, at least my generation was, what you going to be when you grow up? You ever anybody tell you that in school? What you going to be when you grow up? Think about that. I already knew what I was going to do. And when my prime thing was to get out of poverty, I hated poverty and still do today. And how can anybody preach such diabolical curse and call it God-given is beyond my comprehension. Their mind and spirit is not in the sink. Because, see, poverty doesn't formulate anything but death. Let me say it again. How big do you want to dream? When you have faith, you are creating. Your mind and spirit get into sync. They work together to formulate your future. Why? Because your future is vitally important to you. Your future has a voice and a new horizon. Write it down. Your future has a voice and a new horizon. It will keep you prepared. Your future keeps you prepared. It keeps you believing instead of believed. Everything God has ever done is creating. Everything. Constantly. Ever increasing. See, it keeps you prepared. I've had people tell me, Brother Jesse, when are you going to slow down? To what? Why don't you speed up and get caught up with me? I had a man tell me not long ago, I want to give you $1 million. I said, well, hurry up. You're walking slow. Come on. I could use that million yesterday. I didn't mean that to sound rude or hard. She's the one brought it up. Because he really wants to do that, this gentleman. Okay. Great. Come on. Dream. See yourself doing it. Dream it. Get your spirit and your mind in the sink. I'm not going to take $1 of it. Let me help you. I don't need it. But I'll take $1 billion for this ministry. Because I know how to bring joy. I know how to make you laugh when you mad at me. I know how to shut down disappointment and discouragement and bring courage. That's why I love Wizard of the Oz. I'm the king of the forest. Love the cowardly lion. I just got a revelation of the cowardly lion here. Your future has a voice and a new horizon. It will keep you prepared. Why are you so excited about the dream? Your dream, you can't knock down someone with a dream. Write that down. You can't knock someone down with a dream. The dream is bigger than anything anybody can see. That's why it's amazing. Why? Your dream will set your agenda. It's preparing you for your future and setting your agenda. But Brother Jesse, I'm getting older, so. Like I said, that's got anything to do with it. Abraham and Sarah decided to have a baby at 100. Look at my 96-year-old friend. That sounds pretty good there. Glory to God. Hey, you can say what you want. But Isaac came. They had to name him Isaac because that was impossible. So Isaac means laughter. They laughed when Isaac came upon the scene. I'm pretty sure they said, get down with your bad self, Abraham. Say what you want. See, the dream set the future and the agenda. Let me say it again. When you have faith, you're creating, your mind and spirit get into sync. They work together to formulate your future. I said your future has a voice and a new horizon. It will keep you prepared. Boy, I could preach on that for hours right there. Keep you prepared. Boy, I'm constantly talking about my dream, my future, what I want to do. Because it keeps me prepared. You can't knock down someone with a dream. Your dream will set your agenda, buddy. It will do it every time. Sometimes I woke up and I didn't dream, so I just went back and took a nap. So I can get me a dream. Glory to God. Or I get around a child. I love it when children, boy. I mean, they imagine. They get into it, man. And I'm with them. And I listen. And when I listen, I go, that stimulates that agenda in me. So I dreamed that I would build a building debt-free. I had to dream it first. I couldn't find a soul that agreed with me other than Kenneth Copeland, and I didn't know him. This is way back at the beginning. I didn't know Brother Copeland then. But he said, oh, no man anything but to love him. And I thought, is that in the Bible? Because the first thing I said, how can you buy a house without mortgaging it? How can you buy a car without financing it? I mean, it's just common sense. But you see, sense is not common to God. See, he's dealing with something beyond the intellect, beyond what I call factual understanding. He creates facts when there's none. when there was no light, he said, light. He opened up the Red Sea and said, walk. He didn't send a tsunami. He opened the Red Sea. So it formulates, see, my agenda, it formulates my future. And this voice calls to me constantly. Come on, Jesse. Come on. I've had people that work for me way younger than me, couldn't stay up with me. I'm not bragging about that. Why? It's not because I'm in better shape than them. They were a lot younger. It's they didn't understand the dream. They wasn't willing to dream big because they thought they might get embarrassed by criticism. Was that gentleman that he tried something so many different times and a thousand times and on a thousand and one time he found out how it worked and they said, well, what a waste. He said, no, I found out a thousand ways not to do it. Who was that? Thomas Edison? Yeah. Yeah. You see, do you understand what I'm saying? You have to protect your dream. You see, God gave Edison AC and DC. But he preferred DC, direct current. Because AC was too dangerous. But he had a guy working for him. They said, if you could harness the power of AC, it would be much better than DC. But Edison by now began to say, ah, nah, don't worry about that. And J.P. Morgan said, who is your competitor? He said, don't look without, look within. But Edison didn't. And the wonderful man that came up with AC is what we use today. And Westinghouse bought into it. Yeah. And before you know it, Edison didn't own his company anymore. See, you can lose your dream if you don't think about the thoughts that God tells you to do. Because he just didn't give them to you to fill up space in your mind. You understand what I'm saying? So how big do you want a dream? See, you can't knock down someone with a dream. Your dream will set your agenda. Isn't that amazing? Microsoft. Windows. You know, Mr. Gates, he didn't figure out Windows. That was Xerox. They decided not to use it. They're going to throw it away. He said, can I have that? Now, it was in a very, very limited stage or something. And he got to thinking about it and built Microsoft. Ooh, my Lord. I have a lot of people ask me, especially some of my staff, what'd you do? What are you doing, Brother Jesse? Thinking. I love to think. Sometime when I sit down and talk with Nate, he hits his phone. He tapes me. He records me. One of my sons, Steve Allen, as soon as I sit down, he said, you're going to say something that's going to make me think. Well, that's very nice of him to say that. Yeah, why? Because thinking gets something done. People make mistakes that don't think. How big do you want to dream? Spiritually, physically, financially. It doesn't make a difference. You said it. God doesn't. You do. You set that agenda. Lord, this is what I want to do. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. How hard do you want to work? Now, I could preach 4 hours on each one of these, but I should do this as a four-part series, but I'm going to give this to you. I'm setting the agenda. How hard do you want to work? Most people looking to retire. To what? To what? Bear Bryant, the great Alabama coach, said, if I ever retire, I'll die. And he did. See, when you don't become, when you get away from being active, things happen. They say that it's very wonderful for old people to read a lot because it's like brain exercise, like a muscle exercise. You keep reading, you keep formulating. Man, your brain just keeps working. It'll work till the day you go home to be with Jesus. How hard do you want to work? Go with me to Proverbs. That's about the middle of the Bible for you people that don't read the Bible. Book of Proverbs. I want to read you something here. Proverbs chapter 6. Now watch this. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 9. It says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? When? How long will you sleep? Lazy. When will thou arise out of thy sleep? How hard do you want to work? What does work do in your dream? See, this is the power of focus and imagination. They got to come together. See, a dream can't be done unless you work at it. You have to work to have a dream. Write this down. Work brings the fulfillment of your hopes to fruition. Work brings the fulfillment of your hopes to fruition. In other words, it makes it happen. It gets it out of, quote, the spirit world and begins to pull it over into the natural world where you can see it. You see what I'm saying? Work brings the fulfillment of your hopes to fruition. So how long are you going to sleep on this situation? Get up, move. See, work expands the dream and causes the vision to be seen by others. People say, what are you doing? People always ask, what are you doing? I'm working. Working on what? See, you're working on a dream. It expands that vision. Expands the dream and causes the vision to be seen by others. The reason people support my ministry is because I work. It expands the dream. It makes others see the vision. They may not be able to dream my dream. That's okay. But I can explain it to them without one word from my mouth, just by the work that I do toward it. Amen. You see that? That's the power of focus and imagination. You know, Marty, I cannot look at the capital of the United States anymore in Washington, D.C. without thinking of you. Marty's company, if you've seen it on television, you see all that scaffolding around it, the Capitol, that they're doing something to the Capitol, I don't know what it is. That's Marty's company. Am I correct? That's your people doing that. He expanded my understanding. And this is the amazing part. It can't touch the Capitol. Am I correct? I believe you said that. That scaffolding can't touch the Capitol. Man, it looks like a net. Some engineer had to put that together. Somebody had to figure that out. How did they do that? Work. Work brings the fulfillment of all your hopes to fruition. Work expands the dream and causes the vision to be seen by others. You see what I'm saying? Write this down. The mind must be aroused. You like to get aroused every other kind of way. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How about getting your mind aroused? See, that's the power of focus and imagination. When somebody tells you you can't do something, you laugh at them. That ought to arouse your mind. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The mind must be aroused. I'll go over this after a while. Not only must it be aroused, it must be interested and filled. The mind must be aroused, interested, and filled. Let me help you. If you have no occupation, invent one. If you have no occupation, invent one. Well, you know, I can't do too much of this. I can't do much of this. I'm getting old, or I'm getting young, or I'm too young to get this, or I'm too old. Well, invent something. Come on, get your mind aroused. Get interested. Boy, I'm telling you, that'll grab people's attention and say, that young man has got some sense. Or that old man is smart. If you listen to him, it'll get done. Your mind must be aroused, interested, and filled. See, I tell young people, if you're a young a youth leader, you got to be interesting. You can't be boring. Because, see, children get bored, but actually adults get bored worse. That's why I am not against, oh, don't get mad at me. I don't like welfare. Amen. It's boring. Amen. All you're going to eat is the cheese sandwich. Come on now. That's right. Government cheese, which is good, but it gives you, it locks you up. You stay in the project. Ron Fortune. Stand up, Ron. I want people to see Ron. Ron was raised in the fortune. Ron hadn't hardly nothing to eat. Am I correct? They had the fish. He hated fish. I don't think he eats much fish today. Thank you, Ron. I mean, but he got out of the project. Now I know what some people say. Oh, yeah, but he's black. He didn't know he's black. He care about black. Care about white. Just get out the project. Because if it's not your project, you don't want to be in it. And he moved out of that. How did he do that? His mind got aroused. It got interested. It got filled. Oh yeah, but you know, it's generational. You know, we don't have an occupation. Invent one. Invent one. See, that's how hard you want to work. Oh, man, this is good stuff. Let me go over this. Work brings the fulfillment of your hopes to fruition. Number one, work expands the dream and causes the vision to be seen by others. Number two, the mind must be aroused and interested and filled. If you have no occupation, invent one. You can't get there unless you want to be there. I wanted to be debt free. How do you get debt free? So I told Kathy, get in the car. This is years ago. I was living in a 910 square foot house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, roaches didn't live there. It's too small. We ain't living this trash. Get in the car, Kathy. She got in the car. We drove down to Sears at the Southland Mall in Houma, Louisiana. Bought a coffee table. $119. I was so excited. Came home. Stuck it in the middle of the room. People came over to our house. I said, I want to show you a debt-free coffee table. My mind had got aroused. I got interested. My mind got filled. I said, nah, your butt sitting on that couch, you got a mortgage on it. Sears holds the mortgage on that couch. And everything you got a mortgage on, but that coffee table, it's debt free. Go ahead and touch it. Just going to touch it. They thought I'd lost my mind. I did. I finally started walking in the mind of Christ. You know what? People talked about it for 6 months. You know, Jesse told me to touch a coffee table that was debt free for $119. But it didn't take very long, just a couple of 2 or 3 months, all of a sudden all our furniture was paid for. Amen. Oh, Jesus. So everything in the house was paid for. My God, we were working hard. Kathy working, she was taking care of little children. I was working, beating my brains out. We were doing everything, believing God, giving, doing everything. Even our own family said, you don't want to give like that, Jesse. My own brother-in-law, who's a preacher and a lawyer, said, Jesse, man, you need that money. Oh, no, no, I'm sowing seed. He didn't understand that. He does now, but he didn't then. Man, we just kept working. Kept our minds interested. We expand in that dream, causing a vision to be seen by others. That's why I bought the coffee table. But I had to work to do that, see? You see, you can't get there unless you want to be there. And I'll never forget when I got it all. I wouldn't finish. I said, it's paid for. God, look at this. We sleeping on a debt-free bed tonight, mama. Ooh, Jesus, let's get aroused. Look at Kathy. Shut up, boy. We're going a little deep here. We're going a little deep. A debt-free bed. Glory to God. Look at some of y'all. Y'all going home after this service. I can see it. I was excited. So excited I walked out the house. Stuck my hands on the trunk of a car. A Mercury Montego. I think that's the name of that kind of car. No, Mercury Monarch. Looked like a, well, it was a, yeah, whatever it was. And I said, in the name of Jesus, shaking like this. I command you in the name of Jesus to be debt free. Just like the coffee table. Just like the couch. Just like the refrigerator. Just like the freezer. Just like the microwave that one day we might get.
Vision.
You got it. You caught it. You caught it. I had faith wasn't there for a microwave yet. But we're going to get vision for a dream. See, the dream's working with the work and the work's working with the dream. See, it's coming together. It's a power of focus and imagination. I walked away and I went, glory to God, Kathy, we're going to soon drive a debt-free car. Don't know how, don't know when. I ain't interested in that. I'm aroused. I'm interested. I'm filled. I don't mind working. I don't know, was it 8 months? The car was paid for. I danced outside around my car. Mr. Easton, who lived across the street, he said, what you drinking, Jeff? 2:30 in the afternoon, I'm dancing around the car. Just cried. Oh, Jesus. Everybody think I'm nuts. Yes! And then I looked at that house. kind of weak, Teddy. Walked over to that house, Marty. I'll never forget that day, boy. Hand shaking. Jesus, he said, what? Oh, I command you in the name of Jesus to be debt free, just like the coffee table, the couch, the refrigerator, the soon to be microwave, the car. You see, I had evidence all around me. By good old hard work, that it was coming to pass, man.
Yes, amen.
What it was, baby, 9, 10, 11 months? Debt free on the house. Oh, did I dance? I danced like a black man. Come on, baby. I even had my lean walking. What's up, baby? Lord. I wanted to go afro my hair. I just let God, let's go do something. We are debt free house. Can't get there unless you want to be there. Go with me to the book of Genesis. How big you want to dream? How hard you want to work? Y'all enjoying this? Oh, I'm setting this agenda for you. Oh, God. Genesis chapter 11. The next thing, how much do you want to envision? You see, I could still be living in that house. It's still there in Houma, Louisiana. It's on 104 Hellier Street. It's still painted the same color that I painted it, yellow. I could still be living there. Nice home. But you see, it's something called ever increasing. How much you want to envision. See, you got to be careful when you get debt free. You don't want to get lazy. Well, ain't no use to try to do better. You know, we're doing good because something might happen. Don't that sound churchy? Come on. How much do you want to envision? Now, what I'm about ready to read you, there ain't one Christian, there ain't one saved person in this chapter other than God. Everybody's lost as a goose in the fog. Bunch of heathens. See, it'll work for a sinner because it's a God-related idea. It don't just work for Christians. It'll work for anybody that'll apply it. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. My God. Boy, that ain't like that today, is it? And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, notice they said something. Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. You think they were smoking dope? Got a hit of cocaine? Good Lord, are you crazy, boy? You can't do that. These are sinners. They ain't got God in them at all. Watch this. Let us make us a name. Whoa. Yeah. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They realize unity is a powerful thing, even in your thoughts. Yeah. Watch this. And the Lord came down. Whoa. You mean God pays attention to sinners? Uh-huh. When they're walking by faith, they do. He does. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. They hadn't built it yet. They were just collecting the bricks, but it was already built in their mind. They already had dreamed. Now they were putting work to it. Now they were envisioning. See how it comes into, it sink, boy. Sink. It's coming into fruition. The Lord came down to verse 5 to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. This was done in the mind like an architect that draws the plans. The house ain't built yet, but it's built in that architect's mind. And the Lord said, I want you to get this. Behold, the people is one. Oh, God, look at me. I'm trying to get everybody at Covenant Church to be one.
Amen.
One spirit, one mind, one body, one finance.
Amen.
That's why I keep saying it and saying it and saying it. I'll get you debt free if you listen to me. I say it. Behold, the people are one. Oh, Lord. And they have all one language. Y'all saying the same thing. And this they begin to do. Now look, this is God talking about sinners. And now nothing. Everybody say nothing. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. It hadn't been built yet. They ain't one brick laid on top of one brick. It's all in their mind. They're in imagination. But they're envisioning now. Oh, glory to God. Write this down. You must allow yourself to imagine a future and get to work on it. You must allow yourself to imagine a future. That's how you lose weight. You see yourself smaller. Now you can talk until you're blue in the face. You got to put some work with it, right? Now you can say all that stuff. Well, you know, it's in my genes. You know, it's in the genes. Well, it's outside the genes on some parts of you. It's in the genes. You know, mama fat, daddy fat, our dogs are fat. They're just going to be fat, that dog. Well, that may be true. I'm not denying that. Hey, that's fine me. Hey. But what do you want? What do you want? See, it may be different with you. All the stuff that you're thinking about everybody else. Said, what do you want? Are you willing to work at it? Are you willing to dream it? You're willing to envision. And God said, nothing. Whew. Now imagine a Christian thinking like that. Yeah, I can imagine that. His name is Jesse Duplantis. He's got one of the biggest houses in the city of New Orleans. He's been flying private jets for over 20 years. They all paid for it. Everybody mad at it. They all mad at him. They can get mad all they want. It don't make a lick of difference. I saw it. Once showing off. I could care less about that. You know what people say about me, the ones that know me in St. Charles Parish? He's so normal. You wouldn't know he got a dime. He's such a nice guy. What's wrong with that? Money don't define who I am. Never has and it never will. It's just something that makes you comfortable while there are miserable things going on in the world. Nothing. You must allow yourself to imagine a future and get to work on it. Write this down. When you combine imagination and a unified, focused effort, there's nothing you can't do. Nothing. Listen to me, young people. The world's in your hands. If Jesus tarries, I'm going to still be here for quite a few years. I can teach you some things. But we're going to have to turn this thing over. You. I want you with a unified focus. You understand? I want you to use the power of focus and imagination. Because we need, you know, I think it was 1900, they wanted to shut down the patent office because everything that was invented had been invented and there wasn't going to be no more. Is that the stupidest thing you ever heard of in your life? You are carrying around with you right now, just in your cell phone, the Library of Congress. Do you know how big the Library of Congress is? No, if you hadn't been to Washington, D.C. and walked in that building, you are shocked what you see. And it's all in that phone. And somebody had fruit on their mind, called it apple. Or whatever. And all of a sudden, computers. Everything you could think of. Think of, yeah. See, when you combine imagination and a unified focus effort, there's nothing you can't do. When I combine my imagination while walking out on this wet field out here with nothing but solid white grass, I said, I will build this place. When I saw you, you left my office, my good friend, I said, I will be look like him when I'm 96. So you gave me something to dream for. And I gave you something to dream for, 120. Whew. Glory to God. Oh, that's crazy. I agree with you on that. Because the natural man receives not the things of God. You're trying to think this out in the natural. It don't work that way. This is a spirit thing. You see what I'm saying? Now you got unified focus and imagination. That's why I love being around my granddaughter, Meredith. Boy, she got an imagination. Play with me, grandfather. I said, okay, what do you want me to be? And whatever she wants me to be, I am. In her little mind, I can see it. She clicks over. And then I have to do what she says, which I do. It's great. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. It's building a future. She says, I want to fly. I said, you want to fly? I said, grandfather's got an airplane. Oh, then we can fly. Yes, we can fly. Somebody thought that was stupid. Until the right boys instead of the wrong boys. The right brothers instead of the wrong brothers. You ain't heard nothing about the wrong brothers, have you? They've been wrong since the day they was born. The right brothers took imagination and unified focus and built a plane and flew it. Howard Hughes says, I'll build a Hercules. It can't fly. It's too heavy. If it don't fly, I'll leave this country and never come back. Everybody was hoping that would happen. But she flew. He didn't say how far she gonna fly. But she flew. But today you got the C-130s and all these big, huge aircraft because of Howard Hughes. And the satellites too. How much you want to envision? My God, man. Now remember this. These people working for. These people are dreaming. The man that created the Learjet, Bill Lear. Have you ever heard of a Learjet? He also created the 8-track tape. Did you know that? Now, how can you go from a Learjet to an 8-track tape? Because a dreamer has a lot of facets going on all at the same time. So let me say it again. How much you want to envision, you must allow yourself to imagine a future and get to work on it. When you combine imagination and unified focus effort, there's nothing you can't do. Now, let me get to this point here. When you get God's attention, notice the Lord came down to these people. It will cause him to make a sovereign move. What does that mean? He hadn't thought about it. God hadn't thought about it. Glenn, he hadn't thought about it at all. You and Linda just did something that sparked his thinking. Yes. He went, I believe I'm going to do this. He's God. He can do anything he wants. A sovereign act took place. Yes. He'll make a sovereign move for you. Yes. Yes. If you give him something to think about. This is moving creator. Yes. You. Hallelujah. Who the church world says you're nothing and stupid and you know you're better. Man, you can get God to come off the throne and say, let me go see this great sight. God, look at my boy. Look at my girl. Look what they doing, man. My, can you look at this? Yes. Hey, Gabriel, watch him. He's related to me. He talking like me. Don't he look like me? Yeah. Yeah, he looked like him. He looked like Jesus. Yeah, he does. Look at that boy. Glory to God. A sovereign move. I've moved God sovereignly many times. See, if you stay in the boat of religion, you only meet disciples. But you get out on the water, you're going to meet Jesus. Amen. Lord, I'm getting out. I'm on the water, man. Well, suppose you sink. Well, I'll just get wet. And I'll tread water till I can get back up. I'll do whatever you got to do. What about if you fall? When I fall, I shall arise. See, that you're covered constantly in everything that you do if you know that scripture. That's the power of focus and imagination. See, when you see that, when you understand that, you discover the power of focus and imagination in your life today. You discover it. You go, wait, oh, glory to God, I can do that. When we go to the Cheesecake Factory, me and Kathy and Nate and Michelle, we like to bring Michelle with us. Because Michelle goes for the gusto. As old Nate over there, he want to dry something. He's always drying. He dry a piece of chicken breast and, you know, salad on the side and all kinds of stuff. And, you know,
you know. And Kathy going, well, let's see what, how many calories is on the Skinny-licious, menu and all this kind of, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, glory to God, you know. But not Michelle. What kind of cheesecake y'all want? And people that don't want to eat it, they know which one's the best. And they never just get the plain. They get the something called outrageous. One bite's 9,687 calories. But you have a wonderful time walking out of that. And boy, I mean, and boy, we can be talking about God. And boy, we all focus. There's Michelle again. And she just focuses because she's going to ask you a question. And I said, y'all want some cheese? Boom! Her whole face lights up. She goes, which helps us light up? Because we're all lying like a dog. We all want it. We'll take a bite. The only one honest at the table is Michelle. Just give me the piece of cheesecake. We'll take a bite. But Kathy got through a revelation the other day. She finally went past the dream and got the manifestation. Nate loves peanut butter. He done figured out how many peanut butter cups is on the cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. I guess he counted them. I don't know how he did. Oh, no, that ain't right. No. He said, no, don't. Boy, he got this thing down, minister. Now, Kathy, not a peanut butter fan. Never have been, you know. So we're going to get whatever you want. She said, I want my own cheesecake. I said, whoo, get down with your bad self, mama. I want my own cheesecake with strawberries and stuff in. So two of them came in. We all went home asking God to forgive us for all the calories that we did. Boy, we envisioned and we seen and saw. A sovereign move of God came upon Kathy. It was a happy day. See, waiters can sovereignly move me. If they treat me right. Because they usually give you a bill and they'll say 10%, 15%, or 20%, or 18%, you know. They're hoping you read that fine print. They know you can't add and subtract or multiply, so they do it for you. But the other day I had one girl that she was just good, boy. My bill was $24.29. She was just good. Boy. What else you need? Y'all like this place. I said, yeah, we do. Well, she was just saying, you need any more tea? Foo, 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 foo. You need any more tea? Boom, boom, boom. She just there. Bam, 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 bam. Anything else? Sweet, nice. Put a $100 bill in there. She took it out. Get back your change. $24 and a few cents. She come back to the table. Kevin. She looked at me. She goes, I went, it's yours. She goes, Jesus. It's amazing that money will make you say the name of Jesus. I ain't never heard anybody say Buddha. I ain't never heard anybody ever say Buddha. And nothing against the Muslim. I ain't nobody say, oh, Mohammed, I tell you. No, I ain't never heard him say that. I heard him say, Jesus. Jesus is yours. Kathy, how much you give her? I said, about $75. Oh, I said, eat all your food, Kathy. Eat it all. It was a great day. See, she created her world, which we were in it, in her station, and made us have a great day. It was worth it. Now, that place gets full, boy. You just got to stand in line. But me and Kathy don't stand in line very long. Yesterday we went in there. I mean, you had an hour wait. We didn't have nothing else to do. Huh, Kathy? I said, well, just sit here. Stand here. All of a sudden. This little black girl, she was a sweetheart. Y'all, people all just looking. Give me that. Give me a hand, Mary. Come on, Mary. She just goes, come on, Mr. DePlantis. Come on. And she just took me and Kathy. Thank you, Mary. This is my executive secretary, Mary. And took us to there. And then people said, we was here before them.
It was a sovereign act. It was a sovereign act. This is where I'm getting to. They have the power to do that if they want to. You can't do a thing about it. A sovereign act of God. He'll pay your house off. Bam, bam. You go, what? Keep the change. Now, let's get to the most important part of this. Go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. The next statement. How much past do you want to forget? This is in the New Testament. Philippians, we're going over in the New Testament. Chapter 3. How much past do you want to forget? Oh, that is the problem with most people's lives. The past. Philippians chapter 3. Just go there for a minute. Because the past never sees the future. Amen. I'm going to be honest. How many of you have had a divorce? Oh, you end up. Okay, put your hand down. How many of you have a good marriage? Same people now. Good. But if you bring that divorce into that new marriage, you are going to cause some problems. If you judge that woman by that last, whatever you want to call her. I said nothing. I just leave it to your thinking. Y'all had the word in your mind right there.
Come on now.
Yeah, you did. That was a revelation right there, boy. If you judge that man by that last fool you married, you're going to destroy that marriage. You know why? Because that's too heavy to be brought into the future. That's called excess baggage. Oh, this is a good one here. Philippians chapter 3, Paul writing to the church of Philippi, he says this in verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Why did he say that? Because he don't want you looking at behinds. Kim Kardashian is known for her butt. Is that sad? That woman's very smart. She's got a brilliant mind. She got a smart business mind. But the butt's going to fall down. I don't care how much they pump that sucker up. I wouldn't want to be known for my butt. I never forget one time I was on a cruise. I don't go on many cruises. Preaching with John Hagee. This is several years ago. And I was standing there. This fine looking woman got up. And she had a bikini on. She was walking off. And there was two kids standing there, you know. One was about, I don't know, 6. The other about 8 years old. And every man around that swimming pool was just looking. Because that woman had a figure. And the little boy tells the 8-year-old, he says, they looking at her butt. And the 6-year-old says, her butt. Why do they want to do that? I lost it. I couldn't. I busted out laughing. Her butt. I didn't know why they want to do that. Because a 6-year-old knows what a butt is. Her butt. In Brother Hagee's church, there was a lady came up for prayer, and she was very well endowed on the top. And they was kind of hanging out, all smashed together and raised up. You know, like the men underneath there holding up them two babies. And this little boy goes, how come your butt's in the front? That's a true story. This is my church. I can say whatever I want to say. Now, forgetting those things which are behind. How much past do you want to forget? He says, but this one thing I do, Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Not behind, before. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's deal with this. How much past do you want to get? The past is too heavy to be brought into the future. Why? It keeps you thinking about yesterday. When yesterday's gone. It keeps you thinking about, I can't get up with that kid. It keeps you thinking about yesterday. Why? It's gone, man. It will never come back. It's finished. It's too heavy to be brought into the future. So you that have had divorces, you got a good man now, forget that. Forget that. Don't bring that into your marriage. That person that you married, you would do them an injustice to think about that person like you did the previous person, vice versa. You see what I'm saying? The past is too heavy to be brought into the future. It keeps you thinking about yesterday. Write this down. If you keep thinking about what happened, nothing will happen for you. If you keep thinking about what happened, nothing will happen for you. Yeah, people always think about what happened, you know? Oh, I tell you one day. Do you know after Hurricane Katrina, we had a dry spell on hurricanes. Did you notice that? Why was that? I'll tell you why. Buddy, if you mentioned hurricane in South Louisiana, everybody went, no! No! People won't even talk about that. Now, before Katrina, well, you know, Hurricane Betsy in 1965 came right up the mouth of Mississippi like to drown us all. Hurricane Camille in 1969 just wiped out Biloxi and took out all kinds of stuff. Hurricane George got a little close to us. Hurricane Andrew passed us by and killed a bunch of fish. Thank God didn't kill any of us. But when Katrina came, oh God, it took hurricane out of people's language. And guess what? No hurricanes. Now watch it. When you've been believing for hurricanes, we ain't had one in a long time. Guess we do one. Remember that? That's before Katrina. Then next week, Rita showed up. That's Katrina's ugly sister. Rita said, well, you know, we just got New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast there. Bless God, let's get the rest of Louisiana now. Let's go into Lake Charles and Cameron and all that kind of, wipe that all out. But you notice that, man, it just shut down. But you notice lately, people have been talking about that mess. What is a hurricane? It's a low pressure. It starts off as a low pressure. Then it goes into a, quote, a depression. Don't that sound churchy? Then it develops into a, quote, tropical storm. And then to a hurricane. It cannot go against a high. I don't care how powerful it is. If it's a category 5, it ain't going against no high. High gonna kick it out. It looks for the weakest place in the atmosphere to go into. And we develop weak places with our mouths by talking about the past. Because the past never sees the future. So you see what I'm saying? That's why, I don't want people talking. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. I understand weather patterns. But my God, we could stop things unless we develop a weak place for something to come into with our mouths. The past is too heavily brought into the future. It keeps you thinking about yesterday. See, if you keep thinking about what happened, nothing will happen. Why? Why does God don't want you looking behind? Behind means looking back. Forward is the only direction for you. It says, onward, Christian soldier. It didn't say backward, Christian soldier. Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching past the war. The old hymn. See. Have you ever noticed about the armor of God? There's none for your back parts. Nothing. It's all in the front. In other words, you don't turn around. Want to dance with me? Come on. See, it's forward. There's no company wants to talk about how many people they laid off. The company wants to hear about how much we're going to grow and flow. I love the economy when it's booming. Why? Makes people happy. Isn't it wonderful? Gas is cheap.
Now, I'm putting this on tape. Just keep believing God. Good Lord, man. The other day, I stopped at a gas station to buy some gas, and I think I got about $1 worth. I was already full. I said, I'm buying gas at $1.69 a gallon. I went to a place called Brothers. I figured, Brothers, what's going on? I said, boy, the little gas war going on around William Boulevard there. You got that race trip. And I thought, I'm going to buy some. Boy, the guy, I said, I'm going to fill it up. Okay. I think it was $1.06. Oh, I said, I just had to buy it. I just had to buy some gas. I'll keep the receipt. I want to frame it. Behind means looking back. Forward is the only direction for you. Forward. Your marriage should get better and better because you're moving forward. I was talking to Chancellor Oral Roberts about maybe a year before he died. Like 91, he died at 92. I said, Chancellor Roberts. He said, Jesse, call me Oral. I said, okay, Chancellor Roberts, I will. He ain't calling anymore. I said, how many secretaries have you had? He said, one. I said, one? I mean, you've had the same secretary since 1947? When you started, yeah, her name Ruth. I told her she couldn't die. I like Ruth. He only had one secretary his whole life. That tells you something, Mary? Because one day I might be walking like this and you're right behind me. Okay, boss. Ruth, he had one. He said, I just like Ruth. Ruth was perfect. And I didn't want to train nobody else. And when I think secretary, I think Ruth. And she, I don't know if she's living now, but she outlived Chancellor Roberts. I kind of like that. See, he never looked backward. He just kept looking forward. Because you see, when you follow someone that looks forward, they bring you with them. They don't drop you on the side of the road. You know what I'm saying? They said, no, we're going to enjoy this prosperity. You come with us. You see, people that look forward are not a respecter of person. They just take the crowd with them. You see. So when I looked up in my study, he gave me these questions. Jesse, but he was looking like this. I was like, yeah. How big you want to dream? Okay. How hard you want to work? Okay. How much do you want to envision? How much past do you want to forget? What? How much past do you want to forget? What? How much past do you want to forget? What'd you say? Because I already forgot it. My mind's now pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See? Spiritually, physically, and financially. I'm going to make an announcement worldwide. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to get richer. It's going to happen. Not only in my ministry, I'm getting my $1 million donors. I believe this is my year. I'm coming in, man. I'm calling it in. Personally, myself. Now, I personally have given $1 million. I've done it myself. I'm not bragging on that, but I can't wait till I do $1 billion. Lord Jesus Christ, my God, can you imagine doing $1 billion? Lord, yeah, I can imagine that. I kind of think of John Lennon. Imagine all those people. I only use a couple of words of that song. That's all I use. The ones I like. Yeah. There's some things I want to do in this ministry. I like to build an orphanage. Well, an orphanage like you ain't never heard of. An orphanage that takes a child, and if they don't get adopted, it's all right. We're going to be the mom and dad, a ministry. And we're going to take them from pre-K to college. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Oh, that's a lot of money. Yeah. That's why we believe God for money.